The title of the message is Immersed in Christ. And what this is really about is baptism and really getting a clear understanding of baptism. But most importantly, more important than understanding about baptism and even the mechanics of baptism and all of that, is that we truly understand what we're really talking about is being immersed in Christ. You know, baptism means nothing. Being immersed in water means nothing if we're not immersed in Christ, right? And so this teaching is going to be about that and trying to see God's heart in baptism and why we do it and that kind of thing and what's the meaning of it and all. And again, like I said, for many of you, especially seasoned folk, a lot of this stuff you're going to already know, but this is part of this series and it needs to be dealt with because it's so vitally important to Jesus. In fact, it was so important to Jesus that he didn't leave it out. He included it in the commands that he gave to his disciples, right? So it's not something that we take lightly. And the command was simply baptize my disciples. Now, he didn't notice this, and this is important. He didn't say just go around and go baptizing everybody. You know, I know that it's become kind of a popular thing today. And it seems like, especially since that movie came out, the Jesus Revolution, and all the people were being baptized. Remember, did any of y'all see that movie? Thousands of people are being baptized. So now you have a lot of people that are just, hey, we're doing baptisms, you know, just show up and we're going to baptize you kind of thing. And I wonder how biblical that is because he said, baptize my disciples. So if we're going to be baptized, it must be because we're going to be a disciple. Now, let me just say this before I get started too far. I had a young man, I invited him. I talked to him about, did he want to be baptized? I wanted to see where he was. And thankfully, you know, he was extremely honest. And he said, I'm not ready. And I said, well, you do know you don't have to earn your salvation or anything like that. I didn't know where he was coming from with that. He said, no. He said, Pastor, I am so thankful for how God is using you to speak into my life. But at this point, I'm struggling with my own will and what I really want to do. And all. And he said, and I know that baptism is so important that I'm not just going to get up there and do that lightly. That when I do it, I'm going to mean it. And it's going to be an all-the-way thing with me. Can I tell you, I appreciated his honesty.
Yes.
I was thankful for that. Because you want it to mean what Jesus wanted it to mean. Now, let me also preface it with this, that in foreign countries, for instance, the Muslim countries I was talking about a little earlier, in some of those places, to be baptized publicly is a death sentence. Or at the very least, it's you're about to lose your inheritance. Or you're going to be thrown into prison. Because there are some places where if you show up in that country and you're already a Christian, well, they'll be all right with it. But don't you dare try to proselytize. Don't try to win people to Christ. And the way they try to keep that from happening is when somebody does come to Christ, they will penalize that person. They'll make their life miserable. They'll, if they even let them keep their life, because they don't want people being converted to Christianity. So to be publicly baptized is, it's not just I'm doing this because it's a religious thing I should do, and it's not doing it because my friend is doing it. It's not even doing it because our church is having a baptism service or whatever. It is, I am surrendering my life to Christ, even if it cost me my life. And I often wonder about when people are baptized here, is that really their mindset? Now, I wonder about, should we even baptize people, the kind of baptism we're talking about here, should we even baptize people if there's anything that they can even think of that would cause them to turn away from Christ? Because that means they're not really his in the first place. And so notice he says, baptize my disciples. And so the person already has made up their mind. They've surrendered their life to Christ. I remember reading a story about they were trying to get bats out of the steeple of a church. And that preacher tried everything to get those bats out of, I mean, he tried everything. And he was asking people around, and they, no matter what they did, they couldn't get rid of the bats up in the steeple thing of the church. And so finally, the people didn't see bats anymore. And so they asked the preacher, what'd you do? How'd you get rid of them? He said, it was simple. I just caught them and baptized them. And never saw them again. Well, that's sad, but unfortunately, we've had the same experience at times. Because people come in and they want to be baptized as though somehow the baptism is going to do the magic for them. The baptism is going to change them. No, the change happens before you ever get in there. Amen? So one of my favorite scenes, how many of you have ever seen the movie Nacho Libre? Come on, raise your hand if you admit it. Go ahead and admit it. I know. Come on, raise it again. I want to see, because those who have seen that movie, you would understand my sense of humor. Because at 58 years old, I've watched that movie probably 10 times. And at 58 years old, I will still laugh from the beginning to the end. I can't stop laughing. My gut hurts. My cheeks hurt. It's just the funniest thing to me. But one of my favorite scenes there is Nacho Libre is, of course, the movie is just a ridiculous kind of movie, but he and his friend Escalito are they've become wrestlers. That was the big deal. He wanted to be a wrestler. And so they're wrestling partners. And there's this baptism scene, though. And Nacho says in his Hispanic accent to his friend and his wrestling partner, Escalito, he says, "I'm a little concerned right now about your salvation and stuff. How come you have not been baptized?" And Escalito answers, "I don't know why you always have to be judging me because I only believe in science." And Nacho then says, "But tonight, we are going up against Satan's cavemen." And Nacho feels this big bowl of water behind Escalito's back, and Escalito's sitting in a chair eating a bowl of salad facing the other way. Some of y'all remember the scene. And Nacho continues, and he says, "I just thought it would be a good idea if you..." And then he grabs Escalito's head from behind, shoves the bowl right in front of him, and he quickly sticks his face in the bowl and says in a real high-pitched voice, "Praise the Lord!" So Escalito sits there stunned, right? Because it wasn't his idea to be baptized. Well, I don't think that's really what Jesus meant. It wasn't about just getting somebody wet. Amen? Baptism is not something that can be forced on someone. It has to be their own decision based on their desire and their commitment to follow Christ. People ask me sometimes, "Well, can my child be baptized?" Well, if your child truly understands a relationship with Christ and that this is a surrender to Christ and this is an identifying with Christ, it's not just something you do because this is what you do, right? So the church, Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 through 20, Jesus gives the Great Commission and he says, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the end of the age." Now understand who he's talking to here. He's talking to, this is the beginning of the early church, and he's talking to his disciples that he raised up, and he says, "Now you're my disciples, now go and make disciples," all right? And so we do that. We do that together as a body. We do that together as the church. We support missions because the church comes together to support missions, right? And so the church is responsible to do three things. Number one, teach God's word. We try to faithfully do that. We really do. I have seen sermons that I thought, or heard sermons that I thought, how in the world did they even call that a sermon? Because it really wasn't teaching God's word. It was nothing more than a self-centered, humanistic pep talk. I mean, and that's it. But we're supposed to be faithful to teach God's word. And secondly, to make disciples. And third, to baptize those disciples everywhere, which means all nations. He said, go to all nations and do it, right? Until the very end of the age. That means that this is something he's going to establish that's going to continue on and never end. And this is why we do it. So baptism is important because Jesus thought it was important and Jesus commanded it. All right. So now let me give you a little background. Baptism was practiced actually before the founding of the church. Ancient Jews would baptize converts to signify a cleansed nature. But that's a little different than what we're talking about in Christian baptism. And we had John the Baptist who came along. But remember, it was before the death, burial, and resurrection. So after Jesus came and died and was buried and resurrected, baptism took on a much deeper significance. So we know that John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. Baptism today is still a baptism of signifying repentance, but it takes on a deeper meaning now that we look back and see that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. And the Apostle Paul taught, and Peter taught as well, about baptism identifying with the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. They didn't quite have that understanding yet because it hadn't happened yet. Does that make sense? All right. So, but John is the, I have often said, the legitimate high priest of Jesus' day. He's the one that God had ordained and set up and put in the earth. You have a high priest, you have Caiaphas, and you have, I can't remember his name now, but you have actually two high priests in that day, in Jesus' day, and both of them were fakes. Both of them were basically put in there and empowered by the Romans to help control the Jews, just like King Herod was put there. They were actually Jewish, but they were put there and empowered to help them control the Jews. And so John the Baptist, though, was the actual anointed person to be that person. And as I've often said, this is why Jesus couldn't even begin his ministry until he was baptized by John the Baptist, because John the Baptist was the one that Jesus had put in place, right? And so once he's baptized under John the Baptist, he can now begin his ministry. And that didn't happen until he was 30 years old. All right. So, however, that baptism, again, doesn't seem to have quite the meaning that we understand now because of the death, burial, and resurrection that has happened. Now, three questions on baptism. Number one, what is baptism? Well, it's two things. Number one, it's a baptism is an outward testimony. Baptism is an outward witness or testimony of an inward faith in Jesus Christ alone for salvation. You find that in Romans chapter 10, verse 9. In Christian baptism, one is making a public confession of faith, saying without words, but through an action. This is what they're saying. They may not repeat these words, but this is what they're actually saying when they get baptized. They're saying, I confess faith in Jesus Christ. I repent of my sin. Jesus has cleansed me from my sin, delivered me from its domination, and I now have a new life set apart for Christ and the gospel. That's really that's the message being said when a person is being baptized. It's not just, well, let's just do this because the church is doing it, right? Or because my best friend is doing it, so I'm going to do it with them. So it isn't just a wet you that comes out of that water when this is genuine. It is a new creation engrafted into the body of Christ. And it's such a beautiful picture. God tried to give us all kind of pictures to show us what he was trying to do in us. And one of those was that baptism, that death, burial, and resurrection, but also the cleansing aspect of it as well. Also the saturation aspect of it. That's why we use the same word, baptism, for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because there's this complete saturation. We all have the Holy Spirit in us. The moment we get saved, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us. We wouldn't be saved if we didn't have that. But then there is that saturation that can happen. We call that the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And God has that for everybody. So, again, the old you, the sinner, doesn't exist anymore. In other words, you no longer just live for yourself. Now, I want to tell you, people you know before Christ, they may be nice to some degree, and there may be, you know, they may do some good things, but at the core of their being without Christ, they're very selfish. It comes natural. Nobody has to teach us that. Now, there is a huge change that takes place, and it's not just a change, it's literally just a whole new you. And that's why I'm always harping on, we got to stop, the church needs to stop calling themselves sinners saved by grace. We're not sinners anymore. We were sinners. So a better way to say it would be, I was a sinner, but now I've been saved by grace. And Christ and the Bible calls me a saint now. And so we need to also stop using this term when we're about to make an excuse for something we're about to do that we know we shouldn't do. We need to stop saying, well, you know, I'm no saint. Well, when you say that, what you're saying is I'm no Christian. I'm going to set my Christianity aside. I've just been pretending because I'm going to do what I want to do here in this moment. So we got to stop using that kind of language. I am a saint. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. The old is gone, the new has come. And that baptism represents that. So if there is no repentance in the heart when you were baptized, then you just pretty much come out the same old sinner. The only difference is now you're wet. That's it. All right. Now, the second thing is that baptism is an act of obedience. Baptism is an act of obedience of one of the commands of Christ because he commanded it. And again, if it wasn't important to him, he wouldn't have commanded it. And so it declares your faith with Jesus, and it declares you've been crucified with him when he was crucified, and you were buried, and you were risen with him. So although baptism is closely associated with salvation, it's not a requirement for salvation. And we'll deal with that a little more a little later on. But the Bible shows in many places the order of events, though. Number one, what happens? Number one, a person believes in the Lord Jesus. Then they're baptized. So we don't baptize people to try to get them to believe in the Lord Jesus. No, we bring them to the belief in the Lord Jesus first. That's when the change takes place. And then the baptism now is going to represent that. So Acts 2:41, those who accepted Peter's message were baptized. Baptism is a visible declaration and obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. So after understanding this, people often wonder why we totally are immersed in water. Now, let me just say this. Although baptism doesn't save you, if a person is refusing to be baptized, I have to wonder, did the person actually get saved? All right? Because it's, in fact, it's become known in the church as the first act of obedience. So if a person is refusing to, and we've all often said, although we believe in immersion, and I'm about to talk about that for a moment, there are situations and times that God certainly understands where we've had people who were in wheelchairs or whatever, and they couldn't get up and go get in that baptistry the way it's set up. They couldn't do it. So although they would want to be baptized. So we don't have a problem. We will go get water out of that baptistry and pour it over their heads. And the Lord understands that, right? Because it's what's in the heart. But to get the picture of what it's supposed to be, that's why, and the word baptize means immerse. So to get the picture, we do the immersion. Now, we can't just sprinkle a little on the heads and think that we're going to get the picture. Well, how many of you remember Jerry Clower? Remember Jerry Clower? Anybody? Yeah. Right? Yeah. So Jerry Clower used to tell this story. There was a Baptist man with his soon-to-be Methodist son-in-law who had already been sprinkled. Now, he already wasn't real excited about his daughter marrying a Methodist, right, instead of a Baptist because he was a Baptist man. And so the Methodist son-in-law, though, had only been sprinkled because in the Methodist church, that's what they do. They just sprinkle. And so the Baptist man insisted that before the young man marries his daughter, he was going to have to be baptized properly. And so the young man says, well, wait a minute, isn't ankle deep enough? Nope. And the man said, isn't knee deep enough? Nope. Isn't the waist deep enough? Nope. Well, isn't the chest deep enough? Nope. Well, isn't the eyeballs deep enough? And a little irritated, the future father-in-law with his irritated voice says, you see, I already told you that I don't believe in just sprinkling. I already told you what proper baptism is. He says, yeah, but you said the ankle's not deep enough and the knee's not deep enough and the waist is not deep enough and the chest and the eyeballs is not deep enough. Then finally the young man says, well, you know, I knew it was just the top of the head that mattered all the time. So again, why immersion? Well, the Greek word baptize comes from the Greek word baptizo, and it just simply means to submerge, to soak, to immerse here. And I like to say it like this. It's like dipping a cookie in the milk. Now, how many of you like to take your cookie and dip it in that milk? I mean, you're feeling the Holy Ghost already. But I could hear Brother Jason's already getting happy in Jesus back there. You take that cookie and you dip it in that milk, and it just soaks that milk up. Now, I will tell you that this is a thing that I used to love to do. I don't get to do that anymore. But boy, I sure used to love to do it. In fact, I got smart because I realized a lot of times that cookie's going to break off in my fingers after it gets saturated. So I come prepared with a spoon. So being baptized, if you can get that picture, being baptized, that's submersion. It's the same way with the Holy Spirit. It's like getting just saturated and soaked like that cookie in that milk. And that puts a pleasing taste in God's mouth. Amen. So baptism, again, by sprinkling, really just kind of misses the picture. It's inherent in the definition that it's immersion. And the action of being immersed in the water just pictures that dying and that burial. And by the way, again, I taught a whole message. Somebody asked me about this the other day. What I think about, burial. I preached a message called Burned or Buried, but burial versus cremation. If you care to have that, let me know, because I do believe it does mean something to the Lord. And we have that picture. Even Jesus himself was buried. And even the gospel itself is based around being buried, right? And so I'm not saying that that means you're not saved if you don't get buried. I'm just saying that biblically we have that picture, right? And I believe that that honors human life. So, but it's that picture of immersion that can only happen, when we do it according to picture and what we see in the scripture. Now, we're out of time, so I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. Next week, I want to just point out something about Noah and the flood and how that applies to baptism, and we'll continue on in this message. And again, I know this is very practical, but hopefully you'll be able to get at least a nugget or two out of it and be able to help somebody else when they ask you about it. So, Father, I thank you for this day and for every person here. I thank you, Lord, that they're here because you led them here. Lord, you appointed for them to be here. You drew them here in this moment. And Lord, we don't want to just be religious people who go through motions, but Father, we want to be immersed in Christ. Yes. Lord, we want you to just saturate our lives with your goodness, saturate our lives with your wisdom, saturate our lives with your power, saturate our lives with your will, Lord, with your desires. Lord, we want to be absolutely soaked and immersed in you. Lord, may we never, ever, ever fall out of that desire to be completely enwrapped in you, Jesus. And Lord, I thank you. I thank you that this week you have missions for each one to do. I thank you that this week you want to touch lives, God. I thank you that this week, Lord, there are people that you intend for these folks to invite to church. Lord, I pray help us to be bold in the Spirit, Lord, when you give us those opportunities to minister. And Lord, I thank you, God. I thank you that you're going to use each person this week for your glory as they surrender every moment to you of every day. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.